whether the hall was going to fill. It has filled, and we thank God for that. The Vice Chancellor of this university, Professor Duol, the Deputy Vice Chancellor, Professor Rina, the Executive Deans, members of staff, the head elder and the other elders of this church and the officials, the students and all the visitors who have come to worship with us this morning. Happy Sabbath once again. I'm very happy to be here. I want to thank Professor Rico for facilitating my invitation to this great university. The last time I spoke in a hall with slightly more than this gathering was in March, Nkrumah Hall, the University of Dar es Salaam. I want to thank God for the opportunities that He's given me to speak, particularly to the young people. Let me tell you, young people, those of us who are getting old want to look and feel young. Let me tell you, if Professor Adul were to tell you, he would wish he would go back to the age of 50 and even below. I myself always very happy to be with the young people, and I'm happy this morning. Please allow me to introduce to you some lady here. Please come. We didn't come together. She was in Central Church for a short function, but as you know, the programs in Central Church, because of KDC, and even before 12 noon. This lady is my girlfriend. I knew her when she was a small girl, and she has been wonderful in my life. Her name is Yukubet Nyabuke. She's my wife, the mother of my children. Just say hello.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy.
And a happy day.
Happy.
We are happy to join you today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wida is a young girl. Doris, just stand up. This girl from my family is my granddaughter. I mean, you understand the African family. Thank you very much. She's with us, and we want to thank God for this. When I was asked to come and speak in this university, I was not asked to speak on any particular topic. So I thought, and I said, in most places where I've been invited to, I've been given a theme and requested to speak on a particular topic. I thought about it and I said, this is very good. This is very good. When you are allowed freedom, you speak on what you think you want to speak about. I prayed over it. But then it also created a little problem. You want to speak on this, you want to speak on this, you don't want to. So I prayed, and I believe what I'm going to say is what the Lord asked me to come and speak. They are mixed. The topic of my sermon today is the badge of our distinction. The badge of our distinction, and I'm going to speak on the Sabbath. There are mixed views on Christ's first advent. The Jews who were expecting an earthly Messiah dismissed him as a son of a poor carpenter from Nazareth, where nothing worth mentioning could come from. The other nations were indifferent. Some, like the Muslims, regarded him as a very intelligent teacher. The Jewish believers, even his own disciples, who were at any rate not very many, had their doubts about the authenticity of his credentials. As if to respond to that confusion and to set the record right, about midway through his three and a half years ministry on earth, probably in late summer of the year AD 29, Christ delivered the Sermon on the Mount. This was Christ's inaugural address as the King of the Kingdom of Grace. We all know what an inaugural address is. It is, inter alia, a speech marking the beginning of a period in office. It sets the tone of the principles that will guide the new administration. In the Sermon on the Mount, which runs from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, Christ set forth the principles and conditions of citizenship. He outlined the criteria for entry into the kingdom of grace and later the kingdom of glory. He proclaimed the constitution and the law of the kingdom and delineated the kingdom objectives. In Matthew 5, verse 17 to 19, he stated that his kingdom of grace and later glory would be governed by the law of God, which, as we know, was given by Christ himself on Mount Sinai. The verses we have just read, I will read once again. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one title will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John 2 verse 4 that sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. So this morning, I wish to speak about the sin of breaking the Sabbath commandment. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, King of the universe, I want to thank you for this opportunity. I want to invite you to speak to your people. May I decrease as you increase. Use me as a vessel to your honor and the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Pharisees had made several regulations around God's law, particularly when they were taken to captivity. And they were told that they were taken to captivity in Babylon because they broke God's law. So they said, look, never again are we going to be taken to captivity. So what do? We must observe the law. They planned to observe the law by their own means, by their own intellect, not about according to what the Bible states. So they came up with several regulations around the law. Several regulations around the law to make sure that they don't breach the law once and go to captivity once again. those of you who are Bible students know that they came up with 39 regulations around the Sabbath commandment. Some of them were so ridiculous that they would say, look, on Sabbath you are not supposed to carry any load. An handkerchief, according to them, was a load. But to go around that, you just sew it to your coat, sew it so that it becomes part of your garment. They said on the Sabbath you cannot switch on lights. That's work. So they would call a Gentile to come and put on the light in their houses. When the Sabbath is over, they would call the same person to come and put it off. What am I talking about? They came with several regulations around the law, and they demanded strict obedience. So when Christ came, he condemned those traditions. He condemned those traditions, and he had a lot of problems with the Jews regarding the observance or the compliance with the law. The verses we have just read, if you go to verse 20, it says, those who attempt to annul the law of God will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So Christ was trying to put the record straight. And he said, look, these regulations that you have come with are not part of the law of God, and you have made it a burden, like the Sabbath was a burden, so that quite a number of people hated it because of the regulations that had been put around it. Part of the law of God is the Sabbath commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. I do not wish to go to the controversy of which is the Sabbath day. That's perhaps for another day, and it's a controversy, as you know, which has had very, very many views, varying views. But as I said earlier, it is important that we understand that the law of God, God requires us to obey the law of God. A few occasions you have heard people say, you are a legalist, you are this, you are that. Maybe the way we conduct it, maybe the way we behave around ourselves actually makes us to be seen as legalists. But if you understand the spirit of the law, you understand the spirit of the Sabbath commandment, you will not have a problem at all. As Adventists, we know that the Sabbath commandment is going to be the turning point in the salvation of man. It is going to be the turning point in the salvation of man. Why am I saying that? As I've said, God says transgression of the law is sin. I'm going to come to us as Adventists because I'm speaking to an Adventist audience. So, quite a number of people have not taken time to think about the law of God. You know, what matters in life, in really life, are things we give very casual treatment. About a month ago, I was in Geneva. I was there for a whole week. So in the course of the week, we were taken out for dinner. And I was privileged to sit with a lady, a professor, from one of the universities in Estonia. She had read my bio and she asked me why I'm an Adventist. I told her I'm an Adventist because I am an Adventist. That's what the Bible says. Then we argued a little bit, and I asked her why she is a Lutheran. She told me she's a Lutheran. She didn't give me any reason. She said, I'm there because my parents are there, because my parents were there. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are you an Adventist because your parents were Adventists or are still Adventists? If that is the case, you have not got it right. You have not got it right. You need to read the Bible yourself and ask yourself whether or not you are in the right church. A number of us, I'm sorry, I mean academicians who are here, ask yourself, how much time do we put? How much time do we devote to the study of our work? I have not done a PhD myself, but I'm told it is quite a hassle. You have got to put in a lot of time. Very well, it is important. It is important. God wants us to be at the top. God wants us to be at the top. He promises that Deuteronomy 28, verse 13 and 14. Those who obey his commandments will be at the top. There is a proviso to that. Those who obey his commandments. It doesn't mean that those who don't obey will not be at the top. God is so gracious, he will be there. But he has special blessings for those who obey his commandments. So the question I ask is, how much time do we put to the study of God to tell us what God's requirement is? I go to church, in the Seventh-day church. Sometimes when you sit in the lesson discussion, the study of the Bible, you get surprised. I get surprised, and I tell people, look, please, we are studying the lesson here. We are studying the Word of God, and this is a focused study. I don't want you to tell me what you know about Adam when we are talking about Job. Huh? You find somebody is making a comment, he has not read the lesson at all, he's making comments, and he's taking you on a tangent. Why is that? Because they have not taken time to study the Word of God. If you take time and study the Bible, you will see that there is a lot the Bible says about the Sabbath. The Bible talks a lot about the Sabbath. In Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 15. Sorry, no, that is. How did this come? How did this come? How did we come to sin? We know it very well that sin originated with the Satan. Satan challenged the authority and the law of God. He could not understand why he could be excluded from the Trinity. Being a created being, he wanted to be in the council of the Trinity. And God told him no. And then we know the story. After that, there was war in heaven, as we read in Revelation 12, verse 7, and Satan was thrown out of heaven. That was the beginning of the great controversy, which has raged and will rage to the end of the world. When he came to earth, his mission was to make sure that humanity break the law of God and continue sinning so that they remain in his kingdom. We know the story about Eve. he comes to him and say, did God say that we should not eat of all the fruits? Eve said, yes, yes, of course he said that. He said we should eat of all the tree, but of the tree of knowledge and the evil, which is in the middle of the garden, we should not eat. She even added some other words God had not said. We should not even touch. Then Satan comes and says, no, you will surely not die. God knew that if you eat of that fruit, you will be like him. You will be intelligent like him. So she thought and said, wait, that's great. What is what is going on in her head? God is unfair. Why is he limiting my intelligence? And she ate of the fruit. Go and read Genesis 3 verse 1 to 5. And you will see how cunning he is. The Bible says Satan is very cunning. He added only one word. God said, if you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. Satan added one word. You shall surely not die. Not. And that word made the whole difference. And we have suffered since that time. He is going to use those kind of tricks to make sure we sin. I've always told friends that if you want somebody to believe you, if you must lie, keep your lie as close to the truth as possible. I'm not asking you to lie, please hear me. If you have to lie, keep the lie as close to the truth as possible. That's why I told you, Satan added only one word. If I'm here today, and you go and tell anybody, anybody who sees me here, that you know I was with the Lamaraga and he told me this, he will believe. Why? Because I'm here. Isn't it? But if you told somebody in Central Church that Lamaraga said, he would say, no. But wait a minute, when did he tell you that? On 18th, he was at Tux. Keep the lie as close to the truth as possible. So Satan has, using deception all through and through, made us to continue sinning. With regard to the Sabbath commandment, you read through the Bible and you will see that the Bible says a lot about the Sabbath. Why? The Sabbath distinguishes God from other gods. The Sabbath distinguishes God from other gods. It is central in the worship of God. If you read Psalms 96 verse 5, it says, all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made heavens and earth. That's Psalms 96 verse 5. In his homage, in their homage, the holy beings in heaven assert in Revelation 4 verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. The Sabbath is the one which gives a great distinction between the other gods and God. Who is the creator? The other gods, none of them created anything. It is only God. And that's why in Exodus 20, verse 8 to 9, to 11, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It shall be, in it you shall do no work, you, your son, your daughter, or your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, not your stranger, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. That creation story surrounds the Sabbath commandment throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. Why? Because God wants us to understand that God is the creator, and we give him honor and glory and worship him by keeping his commandments. The three angels' message, the Sabbath commandment comes in. Why it says the hour of the judgment has come. I am a lawyer and I've been a judge for many years. When it comes to applying the law, you read the letter of the law and interpret it and apply it. You cannot convict anybody of a crime which is not spelled in the law. You cannot. That is the Kenyan law. God's law is spelled in the Bible. And you know what? This Bible here was written over a period of 1,500 years by various writers. They wrote in their own language. God didn't inspire the language, he inspired the message. That's why you sometimes find some verses which you don't, if you don't read them in context and carefully, you might think they are contradictory. The Bible never contradicts itself at all. It is you who has not taken time to understand it. But when it came to the commandments of God, we know it. When it came to the commandments of God, who wrote them? Who wrote them? God with his own finger. With his own finger. Exodus 31, what is the verse again? Exodus 31, is it verse 18? 18. Exodus 31, verse 18. In short, you will read it. You will read it. It's, Moses is given the tablets of stone. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony. Tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Written with the finger of God. This one, God did not delegate to anyone. He did it himself. So the Ten Commandments in Exodus 10 is there as a perpetual reminder of who your God is. He says we should not do any work, but instead, as Leviticus 23, verse 3 advises, let us assemble in a holy convocation. I said the topic of my sermon today is the badge of loyal, the badge of our distinction. The Sabbath is the badge of loyalty. To throughout the Bible, when the children of Israel were having challenges here, God over and over again told them, "Hallow my Sabbaths, and there will be a sign between you and me, that you may know that I am your Lord." It's a sign between you and your God. It is one that distinguishes you as your God. I am not saying that those who are not worshiping on the Sabbath are not children of God. They are. They are children of God. He's the one who created them. God created even Satan. They are his children. But when you choose to obey God and keep all his commandments, you move from a class to another. You move from a class to another. And God says, "This, because you have chosen this, this is a mark. It's like a badge that you wear." I traveled a lot when I was in the office. And the one thing I didn't forget is the Kenyan badge wherever I traveled. I put it on. Because why? Because I wanted everybody to know that I'm a Kenyan. I wanted everybody to know that I am a Kenyan. In Exodus 31 verse 17, he says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." Satan challenged the law of God because of his cunning nature. He challenged the law of God, and he will keep challenging it. He will keep holding us even in matters that matter, so that we do not focus on what matters in our lives. Salvation. Salvation. Sometimes in the 80s, I read there used to be a column in the Standard. Was it in the Standard or the Nature? I think it was the Standard. Thought for the day. The writer used to write that, and I used to read it. I used to like his column. One time he wrote and said that he was giving, of course, a theoretical thing, but a very good observation. He says, the Satan assembled his troops and told them that we are losing the war. Very many people are going to church. We are losing the war. How can we control them? One of them said, "Let's go and tell them that there is no God. All these you are being told are fables." He discussed and said, no, that one they will not buy. It's okay, fine. This one, tell them, this Christ you are being told is the son of Joseph. You don't be deceived. They discussed that, the pros and the cons of that, and said, no, that one they may not buy also. Then one said, this one, tell them that Christ is the son of God. He came, but he's not coming back. They discussed that and said, no, that one they will not buy. The last one came and said, look, let's go and tell them that there is God, the Creator. He created the heavens. Christ came. He is his son. He will come again. But not yet, not now. He will come in the distant future. You don't need to worry about him now. This thing you're being told that Christ is coming soon is in the distant future. And they all clapped and said, yes, that one they will buy. Do you see anything like that happening here? I mean, you know, some people are doing some things and they say, okay, let me, I know this is not even, this is sinful, but let me finish it. After that, I'll come to church and I will be a good person. And that is what is holding everyone back. As Adventists, knowing, as I said earlier, that the Sabbath will be the turning point in our salvation, are we keeping the Sabbath? We are going to be caught. We are going to be caught in sin. I have said this many times. We are not going to miss to go to heaven because we are violent robbers. No, we don't commit violent robbery. We are not going to miss to go to heaven because we are murderers. No. Murder, you know, the lawyers will tell you that murder is premeditated. Excuse my pronunciations, I normally have problems. Of course, people plan murders and they do. I don't expect an Adventist to plan to murder anyone. We are not going to miss to go to heaven because we are adulterers. We are going to miss to go to heaven because we are so casual in our relationship with God, that it is not true. That's why the Bible in Revelation 3, it calls us the Laodicean Church. The Laodicean Church, of the seven churches, the Laodicean Church is neither hot nor cool. It is in between. And the Bible says, God will spit you out. You are actually a more disgrace than those ones who are out there. Because those ones who are out there, I mean, they have chosen, and everybody knows, you are a hypocrite, in short. That's what the Bible is telling us. When it comes to the Sabbath, I want us all to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. I'll read from verse 13 to 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13 to 14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. What a vow. What a vow. The Lord says, this is what I will give you. Take it seriously. I have said this. The only other very, very serious vow I have found in the Bible is in Malachi 3 verse, is it 11? He says, pay your tithes and you will see what I will do. Test me. You know, we are talking about God, the King, the Creator of the universe, saying, test me and you will see what I will do. Here, he is talking about the Sabbath. He says, avoid this. Believe you me, I will bless you and then make you rise above the stars of heaven. Most of you know my story. It is a bore, because I've told it many times in many places. But let me tell it once again at the risk of boring you. When I went for the interview, and you know that interview lasted almost, is it more than 4 hours? for the position of the Chief Justice. I was asking one question. Those of you who watched it, that's why I say it at the risk of boring you. I was asking one question. You know, the presidential petition is the most important case the Supreme Court handles. And you know the law, the Constitution requires that you must hear the case and decide it within 14 days from the date of filing. Not 14 working days, 14 days, 14 calendar days, including even the weekend. So I was asked, said, we know you are an Adventist. How are you going to manage the petition? Supposing it falls on Sabbath. Are you going to work? I said, when I was asked that question, something rang in my mind very quickly. Later, I got amazed about it myself because I thought I was not myself thinking. I said, if this is what is going to give me this job, let it be. Let it stay. I said, I will not work on Sabbath. The rest is history. The rest is history. But let me tell you why I'm telling you that. After that, I want you to believe me, God took over. God took over. God took over the affairs of what I was doing. Of course, I made numerous mistakes. Don't think I was perfect. I made numerous mistakes. But when I came back to my senses and I prayed, God took over. The book of Isaiah here says, keep my Sabbath and I will raise you to very high heights. Of course, he gave me the position. And after that, I found myself in a world I never imagined. I was invited to very many, I have spoken in fora I would never have thought I would speak in. God gave me the courage to do a few things. And he has stood by me. I've been invited, and please hear me with all humility. I'm not talking about this so that I look very important. I've been invited, like when I remember one time, I was invited to speak in Harvard University. Then the dean of the Faculty of Law, who was my host, said, look, you want to sit and look, you want somewhere to sit and look through your presentation? I said, yeah, that's okay. So I started opening my presentation and reading. Then I don't know what it is. He says, look, CJ, we don't want a thesis. We don't want a thesis here. Eh? Please tell us your story. I said, oh, that's all you want from me. That's all. You have simplified my work. And I have been asked that over and over again. I was asked that in Harvard. I was asked that in Oxford. I was asked this and that. Why am I telling you all this? God has raised me to very, very high heights. And I want to thank him. The Sabbath is going to be what is going to prevent us from going to heaven, including myself. Why? Because Satan brings very many things around us that appear innocuous when it comes to breaking the Sabbath. You remember I told you that the Pharisees came with so many things around there which gave them the right, according to them, of disobeying God's law. And that's why Christ was saying, not even a dot of the law will be taken away. Because they justified their disobedience of the law because of the regulations they had come up with, and appeared, he says, no, God cannot have been serious. He cannot have said, look, you cannot go to a wedding on Sabbath. You cannot have a celebration graduation ceremony on Sabbath. Those are the things which are going to prevent us from going to heaven. They appear so normal. They appear so normal. Going to social functions, ceremonies, birthdays on Sabbath, you are going to go there. We had World Cup. When did we have World Cup? I'm a fan. I enjoy watching football. You will go watching football on Sabbath. You will go watching football on Sabbath. We've just finished the elections last year. Immediately, people, as soon as people come out of church, some people wanted to engage me on politics as soon as I come out of church. And of course, I steered away and told them this. Those are the things that I want to make us break the Sabbath commandment and miss to go to heaven. We need to be very careful. We go to church to meet, people, conclude business deals, or engage in some. I have very many of my friends who are golfers. He says, this Sabbath I'm not coming. There is a tournament. I'm there. I'll come next Sabbath. This one I'm not coming. I was inviting one, and they told me that he goes to golf. It looks innocuous. Come to church. We are on social media on Sabbath, and that's where I want you young people to listen to. We are on social media on Sabbath. Some could even be tweeting as I'm speaking now. I have seen it happening. I have seen it happening in church. We are in divine hour, and the speaker is preaching, and we are tweeting. Why has God asked us not to get involved in those things? Come to think of it, God wants us to build a relationship with Him. God wants us to concentrate. As I said, we concentrate on the earthly affairs so much so that you sometimes say, I'm told that some people would even want to go to a village out and they hid themselves there and finish their PhD theses. Why? Because they don't want to be disturbed. They want complete silence. They want to concentrate. When it comes to matters of God, you go to church and you are texting. If somebody asked you what Maraga said or the whole sermon, you will not even remember. Why? Because your attention has been taken away. Your attention has been taken away. My brothers and sisters, that's what God wants, Satan wants, and they will derail us. We Seventh-day Adventists are going to miss to go to heaven because we are not observing the Sabbath. My prayer this afternoon is that we take God seriously. We take God seriously. First, let us remember why Christ came to die. Why? Because Eve and Adam ate that fruit, they transgressed God's law. If God's law could be changed, Christ need not have come to die on the cross. He didn't need to come. You know how agonizing the death of Christ was. And then, here you are trifling with what matters most in your life, in your salvation life. My prayer is that we take God seriously so that we don't miss to go to heaven because of trivial things which we could put aside. When I was very busy in the office and I needed to have quiet time on Sabbath and worship, I would put off my phone, or if I don't put it off completely, I put it on flight mode for 24 hours from Friday evening to Sabbath evening. When I open it, of course, messages stream in. When I look at them, in fact, I realize that it is good I just put them off. Some of the messages will come and they will spoil your mood, your Sabbath mood. They will spoil your mood. Somebody will annoy you, somebody will abuse you, and they will ruin your Sabbath day. Social media, very, very, very dangerous. God wants us to give him that time to reflect and see what God has done in your life. Your professors. How many people have professors? Very few. Very few. You need to thank God for raising you to this position. God just needs a little one day in a week. Reflect upon him and help those who need help so that they can also come up. One time we will get time and speak and professor, I would laugh if you can get so many university students in one place and we speak about what is out there in the world. What is out there in the world? Our children are just sleeping and getting out because they have been diverted. What I'm seeing, sometimes I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Including this week, what I was told, I was shocked about what is happening. Young people, as you get out of this university, if you don't take care, you will ruin your lives irretrievably. But something very simple that you would avoid. Something very simple that you would avoid. Do you know the alcohol that is being sold? It's good I'm talking to Adventists. That's why I said we need to, even sometimes some Adventists sleep and get out and drink alcohol. They ruin their lives. You're so bright. You're so bright. God has given you such an intellect. You are here instead of thanking him and saying, God, what do you want me to do? And he raises you to the top. You engage in activities that, if you don't take care, can ruin your life forever. It can never come back. Life will never come back. The alcohol being sold out there, it's not alcohol. Somebody was talking to me this week and they said, look, the alcohol that is being sold is not the changa that is made in Kisi. Changa that is made in Kisi is pure alcohol, very high alcohol content. But it can't get anywhere near what is being sold with the people today. You must have read about some leaders talking from especially Central Province, talking about alcohol ruining their children. Please take that very seriously. Take that very seriously. Find out the content of that alcohol. And the moment you know about it, you will not get anywhere near. you will thank God for the knowledge He has given you to tell you that drinking alcohol is sin. Some Christians say it is not sin. The Bible condemns alcohol. And now you say, okay, let me try a bit. You try a bit and your life is ruined forever. May God bless you. To take care. God loves each one of us. God knows you by name, and He wants you in the kingdom of heaven. May God bless you.
Drunk enough. Some can't believe it when I tell them I drank, and I drank the peace and the spirit. And God, when I pray, God got me up on that. That's for another day. Pray, and from your heart, and God will answer your prayer. For a few seconds, we talk.
Join me with some of the people who are not talking.